Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this, guys? V and dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show. It's the last time we're going to speak together before week three of the NFL season. We've got a lot to talk about here with this coming week, and we had a game last night, and Kyle and I both made a donation to my bookie on behalf of the Tennessee Titans. Kyle, welcome.
Now, you want the good news or the bad news?
I want it both.
Okay, the bad news is we both lost Titans minus 2.5.
We sure did.
The good news is when we predicted games before the start of the season,
yeah,
we picked the Jaguars to win at home. So, with that said, we won, but we also lost.
Kyle, how are you processing Gardner Minshew as having three productive good games so far?
Yeah, I think some of this is kind of not having the book on Gardner Minshew, right? Some of this is he's not playing scared. You saw the touchdown pass, the couple of touchdown right. passes he's thrown to DJ Chark this year already is just like ice in his veins. He doesn't care. He's playing loose. He's having fun. But, Joe, I think the biggest thing that I'm taking away from the Gardner Minshew early success this year is having and continuing to prioritize the quarterbacks, especially in comparison to the Marcus Mariotas of the world, the Ryan Tannehills of the world, who ironically is also on that Titans roster. The quarterbacks that are comfortable when shit goes sideways and thrive in off script, I think it's easier to take a guy who thrives off script and put him into structure than it is to put a guy who can't operate when structure breaks down around.
That's a good point. You got to make the easy stuff look easy, right? And then how do you look when things break? That's a really good point. I was reading over my scouting report, which I would encourage everyone not to read. I'm Gardner Minshew. No, I actually read it. It was a well-written report, I must say. But I did talk about how a lot of times I felt like he invited pressure going back to his days at Washington State. And he really did. I kind of said there, he's got some very dynamic moments off script, and maybe I should have cared more about that. I certainly saw a player with limited physical gifts, right? So did the NFL, right? He's picked 178 in the draft, sixth-round pick. There's not like anyone thought this guy was going to be a franchise quarterback, or else he would have went, 170 picks higher, right? So I'm not going to take like a big L here, but I know that you were higher on Minshew than I was.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give you a chance to kind of talk about that here as we get underway.
Yeah, so I had him 104th overall on my board. My comparison for him was Case Keenum.
Okay.
And I thought he had some – Everybody listen. You know how much I hate bad comparisons. So I'm not going to compare this in a one-to-one, but as far as extending plays within the pocket, there were some Baker Mayfield-like reps.
Chill.
From Gardner Minshew. Extending plays within the pocket that echoed a similar play style to like how Tony Romo extended plays and Baker Mayfield extended play. And like that piece of it for me was like, yeah, he's really fun. You know, he's a fun passer. I thought he had good zip on the ball. I thought in Washington State, you know, there's that video of Mike Leach and he says NFL scouts are asking him, well, you know, is he accurate? And Mike Leach says, well, did you watch any tape at all? Like, with all due respect, I didn't think Gardner Minshew was all that accurate at Washington State at times because he was late a lot of the time.
Right, right.
And he missed everything high and inside because he was late on so many crossing patterns in that air raid style offense. But when you saw him off his platform and throwing on the move and you really saw some nice accuracy. And Jacksonville, let's tip the cap to the Jaguars' offensive line. I mean, the offensive tackles for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor, they did a great job last night in protecting Gardner Minshew, giving him the opportunity to step up in the pocket because they're running guys around the outside. And when he was standing clean in the pocket, he threw with accuracy. When he was forced off his spot and had to throw on the move, he threw with accuracy. So, like I said, the biggest takeaway for me is, like, you can't take a guy who needs this structure to be a successful player, because that's just, it's not sustainable on a game-by-game basis that you're always going to be able to keep a guy within the structure of the offense.
Who is Mike White? Was that I got that right in Jeopardy, right? That was your...
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that. You know who did a bad job last night? How about that Titans offensive line giving up 9 sacks to the Jaguars? Calais Campbell could not be blocked. Josh Allen with 2 sacks. They kicked ass, man. That Jacksonville front 7 kicked Tennessee Titans ass.
Saxonville's back.
It might be. You hate to see it because Doug Marone's such an asshole. But other than that, it's kind of fun to see some of this stuff.
I have one question for you about this game yet before we move on.
Yeah.
When Nick Foles' collarbone heals, who's playing quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, it's interesting because I wrote about the quarterback market for next year, you know, and
yep.
I talked about Nick Foles and his contract situation. You and I have talked about that in this podcast, right? It's definitely a situation where he's going to be around next year because they're going to pay him a whole lot of money to not be there. It just doesn't make any sense. But I mean, I feel like you have to roll with Minshew for the simple fact.
High hand.
Yeah, you got to ride the hot hand, but also, you know, that could, for a coaching staff, it could really extend their opportunity to stick around. Everyone knows that Doug Marone's seat is pretty hot right now. And if you can, you know, convince upper management that, you know, you're the best thing for Gardner Minshew, and you may have found a diamond in the rough here, and, you know, you have your quarterback of the future is this 6th-round pick, and he needs us, you know, I think that's probably – that goes into it a lot.
All right, so here's the Jaguars' next 5 games.
Yeah.
They're in Denver against the 0-2 Broncos.
Okay.
They are in Carolina against what could be a Cam Newton-less Panthers.
Right.
They're hosting a Drew Brees-less New Orleans Saints.
Oh, boy.
They are in Cincinnati.
Oh, boy.
And then they are home against the New York Jets, who may be without Sam Darnold.
Could be interesting down there in Jacksonville.
Our Jags may get a little heater here going.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting. You know, Kyle and I may have lost a little bit of cash on this game last night, but it certainly makes watching NFL games more exciting when you have some skin in the game. There's nothing like the NFL, and there's no better way to make games more interesting than betting on them. So do the smart thing and bet with MyBookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book out there. Don't forget, where you're betting, just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where we play. It's where you should, too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, give yourself a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Kyle and I both use that. Use that LOCKEDON, you get double your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. We got more to talk about in week 3 of the NFL coming up right after this.
Joe, I have a question.
Yeesh.
What game are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Outside of the Bills and Bengals?
Yes, of course. Can't say your own game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Ravens and Chiefs, right? That's the one that really pops.
No. I mean, listen, dude, you got Rams-Browns?
Man, I'm not into the Browns like everyone else, man. I'm telling you.
You got Texans-Chargers?
It's Chiefs-Ravens. That's the game.
I understand it's a sexy game, but I'm sitting here looking at some of these other matchups. Like, if Drew Brees is healthy, which he's not, I understand that really waters this down. You got Saints Seahawks this weekend. You got first start for Daniel Jones.
Right.
You got first start for Mason Rudolph. You got first start for Josh Rosen. There's a hell of a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Fun week. Let's do that. Daniel Jones. Let's talk about that, right? They go to Tampa. Devin White's not going to be healthy. Jamel Dean's not going to play in that game. I think it's a good game to insert him into the lineup. Here's the thing. I don't necessarily love the Giants receivers but in a West Coast style offense, if Sterling Shepard can get back, I think that'll give him at least one receiver to work with Benny Fowler. Maybe there's something there, but Evan Engram obviously extremely talented, but from the simple perspective of this is a pretty good Giants offensive line, and obviously Saquon Barkley, right? That's going to be Daniel Jones' best friend here early on in his career. Really, I mean, forever, right? I mean, having Saquon Barkley, every single quarterback in the NFL would benefit from having him, but specifically for a guy that, you know, is making a big jump here. And Barkley's going to be his best friend, a good offensive line, West Coast scheme. Maybe this kind of works, and I'm anxious to see what it looks like.
Yeah, this is the first opportunity I think you'll get for the Giants where they're not automatically two or three scores behind, right? Because you think about their first two games, played Buffalo tough for a while, but that game never really felt like it was out of hand from your perspective as a Bills fan, did it?
I felt like the Bills were in control. I mean, the Giants scored in the opening drive, got up 7-0, and then the Bills scored, I think, three consecutive touchdown drives. It was 21-7. Right. Yeah, it felt like Buffalo was in control of the game.
Same thing in the Cowboys game where it was close to the first quarter, and then Dallas started ringing up touchdowns. And it's like the Giants have not had the opportunity to feed Saquon Barkley the foot. Like, Saquon has one of his first couple touches go for 50 yards like every game.
Right.
And then like they can't run the ball because they're behind by two touchdowns. Right. And people start teeing off. I think this Bucs game will be an opportunity for them to let it hang a little closer, play offense a little bit more balanced. And I think that will help Daniel Jones. As you said, several prominent players in the Buccaneers defense will be out this weekend. Buccaneers do not have the most ferocious pass rush off the edge. Their best penetration guys are Sue and Vea on the interior, and the Giants pretty stout in the interior.
Yeah, really good interior three. And Zeitler and Hernandez might be the best guard pairing in the NFL. And Jalapio's a good center. They got a good left tackle and Solder. Their weak links, Remmers, but I mean, the other four spots are really solid. So there's enough here, right? This isn't like Josh Rosen getting tossed into the Arizona Cardinals offense last year, right?
Miami Dolphins offense this year. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, I wish Golden Tate was available for Daniel Jones, but that'll come next week. And I think there's enough opportunity in Tampa's secondary that I think this could work.
So Jones has 2 weeks,
between
this week against Tampa and next week against Washington before the Vikings pass rush comes to town.
Yeah.
And then they got to play in a short week and play in Foxborough against the Patriots.
Right.
So this is a nice little incubation period where, like, Daniel Jones is going to get his feet wet, but you should have the opportunity to not have him running for his life relative to some of the other pass rushes.
Speaking of debuts, we've got Mason Rudolph, his starting debut. He started last week, didn't he?
No, he didn't start.
He came in. He came in for Ben. That's right.
Our 49ers, Joe.
Let's go. Yeah, we've been tooting
their horn for sure. Bury the Steelers in the backyard. I don't care.
What is going on? Where's this coming from? Oh, because the Dolphins have their first round
pick.
I haven't been programmed yet. I understand the Saints side of things.
But the Texans.
The Texans side of things. But yeah, it's
Saints too, because we get the Saints second round pick. So
look. Everyone can't lose every game, right? So there it is.
Are you sure? Hey, listen, Jaguars are out of the ranks of the winless, so.
That's true. And
it's another team down. Miami and the Jets.
Is that it? There's only two winless teams left?
No, but they're like the clearly the worst two teams.
Okay, so Miami, but the thing is the Jets are going to play the Dolphins, so they're going to get a win, right? That's going to happen. Right.
They'll get two there.
And then since he plays Miami, that's going to be an important game. Since he's not that bad, since he's going to win three or four games. No.
You say not that bad and then say they'll win three or four games.
That's what I'm saying. They're not 0-16 bad.
No, they're not a historically bad football team. No, you're correct. Let's talk about Mason Rudolph against the 49ers.
Yeah.
I think the things to watch in this game for me is the health of some of the supporting cast. I know Vance McDonald went on the injury report midweek this week with a back issue. I know James Conner had a knee that flared up last week. He said he's fine. He said he expects to play, expects to have no issues, but much more so when you have a young quarterback getting his first start in Mason Rudolph versus a guy as seasoned as Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think he's going to lean heavily on Juju Smith-Schuster. I think they're going to look for safety blanket tight end in the middle of the field. Lean on the running game a little bit and try and probe and test and see if you can move the 49ers around who have a good defensive line. So, but the Steelers have run the ball terribly to start the year. And now with Mason Rudolph in, they have to find life in the running game. Just like we just got done talking about with the New York Giants, struggling to find consistency to stay balanced on offense. I think the Steelers need to skew their offense much more towards running the football and working the middle of the field with Vance McDonald and putting Juju in the slot and so on and so forth.
I like this opportunity. I mean, to me, the interesting thing here is this 49ers pass rush, right? I think they can get after it a little bit. Bosa is going to be healthy and D Ford and some of these interior guys. I know Pittsburgh, well, they're good, right? But I mean, Pittsburgh's got a good offensive line. And so I think protection is going to be the key for Mason. I think he'll have some chances to find some space in the secondary. It's just about, is he going to have the time? And this Steelers run game's got to wake up, right? I mean, James Conner has.
They've been brutal. Right? They've been terrible the first 2 weeks.
That narrative needs to switch here. I don't necessarily like them on the road. And if San Francisco gets a 3-0, man, people are going to start lighting us on fire.
Well, and that's fine. I've said I'm more than happy to be wrong about the 49ers. But let's let it happen.
Right.
Let's not throw them a parade for winning their first two games in September since 2015.
Kyle, you weren't as excited about this Ravens-Chiefs game as I am.
I am excited about it. It's just I'm looking at the slate. There's five games that I'm pumped for this weekend.
What do you think about Ravens-Chiefs? Are we going to learn a lot about Baltimore? Do you expect Kansas City to mop the floor with them? What are your expectations for this game?
No, I don't expect Kansas City to mop the floor with them. If you remember, Baltimore played them pretty damn tough last year. And that was with Lamar not being able to throw the ball. Baltimore should have beat Kansas City last year. They melted in the last 5 to 10 minutes of the football game. You remember that?
Yes.
So, I mean, they played the stereotypical clock control. Now, what's really interesting is the Ravens have turned their offense completely over on their head. They play fast as shit now. They do not look to possess the ball for 40 minutes anymore. They spread you out. They space you out. It's kind of complementary offensive styles of football. I expect points. I expect the team that's able to get two or three mistakes and turnovers, but maybe a big penalty here or there. And I trust Mahomes to not make those mistakes, even though I probably like the Ravens defense more than I like the Chiefs defense.
Okay, I want to ask you about these 20-point spreads in the NFL this weekend in just a minute. But first, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this just isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. We got a deal for you guys. Right now, you can get Blue Chew for free, your first shipment, by using our special promo code Locked On. Just need you to pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Kyle and I will be right back after this. All right, Kyle, we've got Dallas minus 20.
You're not going to skip this.
What am I not going to skip?
One of the greatest, most underrated segues in the history of draft dudes, and you're just going to blow it over like you didn't say.
Let's pretend like this didn't happen. Go ahead.
Joe, you said, I want to ask you about these spreads, but first let's talk about sex.
Oh, no. Did I say that? Are we keeping it?
Of course we are.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Greatest segue in draft dudes history, Joe.
I already did it.
Immortalized now. Oh, it's immortalized.
I did it naturally. Can we talk about the spreads?
Let's talk about the spreads.
Turn on like now a tomato. Talking
about sex.
My God. All right. So what? Dallas minus 23 hosting.
Is that what it is now?
Yeah. As of right now, hosting.
Oh my God, on MyBookie.
Yeah. Yes. Hosting the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots, minus 22, hosting the Jets. Adam Gase and his Jets.
This might be the two biggest spreads in the last decade of NFL.
In the same week, yeah. I thought,
the same week.
Wasn't Dolphins-Patriots the record last week? Wasn't it like 19 and a half?
Oh, there was like two that were over 20, but 23 and a half
yeah.
is a monster number.
Yeah.
And what's sad is they might bet on the Cowboys.
Okay.
Dak's playing lights out. Miami's not going to touch him.
Taco Charlton, man. Revenge game coming.
Excited about the addition.
You
of Taco
should be.
Charlton.
It's a good pickup. Why not?
It's 2 years, $2.5 million. Who
right.
cares?
Right.
You know, do you know how many first round defensive linemen are on the Miami Dolphins defensive line?
They have Christian Wilkins. They have Charles Harris. They have Taco Charlton.
Robert Kimdiche.
Yeah, he's on the pup, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, their roster has four first-round defensive linemen. On
Show it. Do. Should be stacked,
and
man.
Only one of them's worth it.
How's Charles Harris been? Piece of shit?
Terrible.
Oh, okay.
Just completely invisible.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you actually watched him at Missouri, that wouldn't be a surprise to you at all, but here we are.
Which one are you taking on these spreads? Gun to head. You got to pick one.
I could take any of the four outcomes.
That's interesting.
So you could take Dallas to cover, Miami to cover, Patriots to cover, Jets to cover.
Yeah, I want to do that, but then I also want to know which of the favorites you think has a better chance of covering.
I think the Cowboys have a better chance of covering.
I agree with you. The Jets have something on defense. They're not complete idiots, right?
Yeah, and Luke Falk showed me enough last week coming off the bench that I think he can at least modestly move the football.
I can't believe we have two Mike Leach starting quarterbacks. Luke Falk and Gardner Minshew. I can't believe.
Is CJ Mosley on the – is he playing?
I don't know. He didn't play – he did not play Monday night, so.
Because that – I mean, that will be a big determinant
for
me. Yeah,
difference maker. Yeah, I mean, especially for points, right?
Let's find out. CJ Mosley. I'm going to have my producer Twitter search. CJ Mosley.
Of course, the Patriots with a big look-ahead game next week, you know, going to – Orchard Park to face the Bills. You know, they're going to be, well, might not be focused.
big looming date on the schedule, huh?
I think, here, I'll give you my answer while you're looking this up. I think Dallas minus 23 is the most likely team to cover, which also makes them the most likely of the four possible outcomes. They're at home. They're at home in Jerry World, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're at home in Cherry World. Dolphins haven't gone on the road yet. Josh Rosen starting.
Is that helpful?
It's kind of a wild card. I mean, Josh moved the ball against the Pats a little bit. He threw two balls, one down each sideline, that hit Jakeem Grant and Preston Williams in the face.
Oh,
and neither one of them caught the ball.
That's a problem.
Neither one of them caught the ball. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And then, of course, like they call a timeout with 4 seconds left, and Josh tries to get try and score a touchdown. They're down the 5-yard line, and it's batted at the air and intercepted. So all people are going to know about the Patriots game is Josh Rosen didn't throw a touchdown and threw an interception. We should add like two touchdowns.
Who's your favorite offensive player in the Miami Dolphins? It's not Josh Rosen.
Michael Dieter?
Yeah, figured that's what you would say. What about skill player?
Oh, man. I like Jakeem Grant for what he is, like a wide receiver 4 that you have some gadget plays for. I'd like Albert Wilson if he was healthy. I think Albert Wilson's toast at the end of the year. He's due $9.5 million next year. He played 6 snaps in the season opener and will miss the next 2 weeks. He's not playing on
Dude's season. Always hurt, but I remember this offseason I had put a poll on Twitter about which – who people thought the best yards after catch receiver in the NFL were. Albert Wilson got a ton of love in that category.
Yeah, he's phenomenal in that specific skill, but he had the hip injury against Detroit last year, did not play the rest of the season. He was battling the hip issue to the point where they had to play him in the 4th preseason game just to get him some snaps because he wasn't able to with his hip recovery throughout the entire offseason and summer.
Yeah, have you made your choice yet here?
Dallas.
Same as me?
Yeah, most likely outcome
yeah.
of all four possible outcomes is Dallas covers because that's how bad the Dolphins are. And Dak, again, Dak is playing out of his
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, and he's going to continue that, right? He's hungry for a contract. He's not holding anything back, right? I think he'll the Jets
10 for 10 in play action passes.
Right, for sure.
I think he's thrown two incomplete passes on play action to start the year through two games.
I think the Jets are the second most likely to cover, but I want to say something about that with play action, something that was very surprising to me with Josh Allen's stats this year. Josh Allen, his percentage of play action passes this year, 30th in the NFL. He didn't have any.
Wow.
He didn't have one play action pass in week one. He had a little bit more against the Giants, but.
What do you think the reason for that is?
I think the Bills love to go empty and put five wides out there and get some pre-snap motion, give Josh a pre-snap read. And he's done well to survey and throw it. I don't think they've needed it as much, but it's got to come.
It's a spacing issue then. Like they like to space you out and make yeah. it pretty easy to identify if you're playing man or zone.
Oh, for sure. That was what helped him turn the corner last year. And it's a big part of what they do right now. But I think, and I mean, the running game hasn't really gotten going. They've had some opportunistic runs late in games where they've ripped yeah. off some runs mainly with Devin Singletary, but there hasn't been that consistent threat of, you know, like the Bills are going to grind away, so here's these play action passes. And I think maybe teams just know Josh can throw it really far, so they're not giving you that suck up, you know, that creates that space yeah. deep. So
yeah.
there's some dynamics there, but I thought, like, Jesus, he's like one of the least common things that he does is throw play action. So
well, I think that's really interesting because you think about where Josh was coming out, right? And then you mention how they were able to stabilize him last year in his rookie season,
right?
Was simplifying the pre-snap. And now, like, you're starting to get more layers to it, but they're being very selective with where they introduce the layers and not ask him to turn his back to the defense and then get reoriented when he works his eyes back around and stuff like that. I like that for him because we've always talked about the talent is apparent.
Yeah.
And when you space him out like that, Joe, it's a great example of that that pocket flush that he gave you off the edge when the nickel blitzed off the edge.
Yeah.
That's very easy to see coming.
Right, as opposed to turning around. Right.
Yeah, if you're in heavier sets and you got more guys condensed inside the box, you know, those guys can kind of come from anywhere and mix you up and they might catch you off guard. But if you stretch you out, okay, there's where my hot is. I got to replace the blitz.
It's a good point that you said that because I'm thinking back to preseason as well. There was a few plays where the Bills ran play action with Josh Allen where as soon as he turned around, there was a guy in his face and he didn't respond well to that. And I think I'm thinking back to some of those low lights from last year, situations where it is play action. He turns around, there's somebody there and he gets goofy, right? Like real goofy. So maybe it's guarding against some of that. And if things are on schedule, right, which they kind of have been, there's no reason to do it. Can we do one thing here before we close?
Yeah,
I want to go.
Plenty of time.
I want to go through the 2-0 teams and let's find out who's going to be 3-0 by the end of the week.
Bet.
All right. First one here: Bills 2-0 against the Bengals 0-2. Bills home opener. Bills getting to 3-0.
Yes.
Dallas hosts Miami. Dallas is getting to 3-0, right?
Yes.
All right.
Patriots are also getting to 3-0.
Well, I got an order here. Packers are 2. Packers are 2-0. They host the Denver Broncos.
Well, we picked the Packers to win this game, Joe.
Well, they're not losing in Lambeau, right? Aaron Rodgers played well last week.
Agreed, but this is the Broncos season now. Y'all are 0-2. Like, you really can't get to 0-3. And that pass rush came alive a little bit against the Bears.
They got both. Dude, Bulaga and Bakhtiari are freaking walls, dude.
I understand that.
They're so good.
But the Broncos also have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Like, let's not undersell it. I think they're the least likely of the teams that we have mentioned so far.
Right, because of opponent. Because of opponent,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's interesting. The first three teams we mentioned all face 0-2 teams.
Right.
That's not happening here. And the Ravens and Chiefs are 2-0 teams. Someone's getting to 2-1, and the Chiefs are at home. I'm giving them the win here. I think that the Ravens will be off the undefeated, but they'll at least have the best loss, right, for sure.
Correct. Yeah, and I agree. Like I said, when we talked about that game a little bit, I like the Ravens' defense better than I like the Chiefs' defense. But just because of how astronomical, like they're both playing lights out, Lamar and Patrick Mahomes. But mm-hmm. if you were going to tell me one quarterback was going to make one or two critical mistakes in this game, I would pick Lamar to make them before I picked Patrick Mahomes to make them.
Patriots are getting a 3-0. They're facing the Jets at home.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
The Lions are 1-0-1. We're not talking about that. You tie, you don't get to be part of this conversation.
No, yeah.
The 49ers, 2-0, hosting Pittsburgh. They're getting the three.
Yes, they get there. They get there.
Here's one. This is the fun one. The Rams, 2-0, traveling to Cleveland.
We picked the Rams to win this football game.
I'm sure you didn't like that, though.
No, because I probably had something to say about it, but we picked the Browns to go 10-6 while losing this football game, so.
All right. Did we have them at 2-0 entering the game, though?
The Browns?
Yeah, we had them winning. We had them beating Tennessee week one. We sure did. Yeah.
Yeah, we had them at 2-0 and then losing this game.
All right. So
to stay on schedule, the Browns would versus what we forecasted, we would have to give them a win here. But we also gave the Browns a loss week 13 to Pittsburgh. So there's wiggle room here.
You think Browns match up well with the Rams?
Well, not if Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward don't play.
That'd be a problem.
I mean, they both have hamstring issues right now.
Yeesh.
I don't think either one of them practiced yesterday.
It's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem.
Get some ice on those hammies, boys. We need you out there. So
this is not the game to not have your two starting cornerbacks. So
I do think the Rams get there, yes.
Yeah, and Mayfield's got to – I think Mayfield's still got to settle in this year a little bit. You know, I think we saw some moments of it against the Jets, but he's been a little loose so far. So,
but here's the thing, if you can double and triple Aaron Donald will probably still get you, what, 6 pressures in a game with doubles and triple teams?
I think he just shows up on the field with that, yeah.
But, who else up front for the Rams in their pass rush? Are you, freaking out?
No, but they need Fowler to be good. They need Michael Brockers to make some plays. Yeah,
Brockers is really good, but I think Brockers, doesn't really move the needle for me as a pass rusher, right? You know,
he's a quality player. He's not Calais Campbell.
Right. Right. So I think the Browns have a modest chance, but it will come back to if their corners are healthy. And is that it? Is that all the 0-2?
That's all of them. That's all of them. We got Bears and Redskins Monday night. We could touch on that on Monday show though.
So we're cowards. We're picking every single one of them to win.
Well,
except for Ravens and Chiefs, because they have to play each other.
Well,
you tell me which undefeated team besides the loser of Ravens Chiefs is most likely to lose this week?
49ers.
Really? I think it's Packers.
The Broncos love today. I don't get it.
I'm just acknowledging the Broncos played a good game on Sunday against the Bears, lost a heartbreaker, and they're now 0-2, and their backs are up against the wall. Packers jumped out early last week and didn't really pull away the way you wanted them to. Packers let the Vikings get back into a football game that they should have ran away with last week. And the Packers next week play the Eagles in Green Bay. Potential for an overlook game here. I'm just saying.
There's some cheap tickets out there. If you want to go to Colts Falcons, you can get into Lucas Oil Stadium for $26.
Joe, where do you want to go? I want to take you to a game.
Hold on. I got to get through the rest of these. You can get to Cardinals Panthers for $14.
You want to go to Cardinals Panthers this week?
No. And you can get into.
I'll just fly right over from Dallas.
You can get into FedEx Field for Bears Redskins on Monday night for $24.
Whoa, wait. I might go to that one. I'll be home by Monday morning. Hold on.
Go see Mitch Trubisky. See if he can throw left. Monday night football.
He can throw for 120 yards.
Yeah, he's one of our sponsors, Vivid Seats. You can get in the building. Use their rewards loyalty program. Some cheap tickets out there this week, man.
All right. Here's a serious question and end the show for the week.
Yeah.
What's one bucket list stadium that you have not been to that you would want to go to?
I don't know. Brian Denny, I guess, or Neyland.
How about Pro?
Pro? That I've never been to?
Yeah, pro stadium you've never been to that's on the bucket list.
I don't know, Minnesota?
How many have you been to?
Been to Carolina. Carolina. Buffalo?
No. Buffalo, Atlanta.
Atlanta? Might be it. Pro stadiums, that might be it.
But you got quite a few left.
Right. Well, I mean, I only go watch the Bills play, so and those are the ones that are around me.
I have been to Lincoln Financial.
Yeah.
I've been to the Brown Stadium.
Hines?
2007 to see the Dolphins, 1-15 Dolphins play the Browns. I've been to Hines Field.
Yeah.
I've been to FedEx Field.
Oh, I've been there. Stadium. I've been there. That's on my list too. I forgot.
So you're up to four then.
Yep.
This weekend I will be doing Jerry World.
There you go.
I've been inside Lucas Oil.
Hard Rock, right? The Miami Dolphins?
Yes, I've been to Hard Rock, so I'm up to 7.
So you're plus 3 on
that. I didn't realize I had that many.
I mean, I knew all of those off. I didn't know you'd been to Cleveland, but I feel like we've been through this, and then you've told me that.
I mean, it was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. I would probably say either Soldier Field or
Lambeau
Field.
Really? Why Soldier Field?
I mean, just the history there.
It looks so weird to me.
I mean, it does look weird there. And the All-22 is the worst All-22 angle in the history of football.
You can't even go there because of that, you know?
But there's a lot of history there.
That matters to you?
I think it's cool, yeah.
I don't know. It's not like, I don't know, Fenway Park's like what, Wrigley, those are like, that's history to me.
You ever been to the old Yankee Stadium before they knocked it down?
Brother, I've been to Nationals Park and the Braves Stadium for Major League Baseball. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Old Yankee Stadium.
Oh, and Tropicana Field. What a delight. What a gem.
Yeah, we've been there together.
What a gem.
We've been out in center field there standing around.
I'll miss it this year.
I almost had somebody hit me with a ball. They were throwing fades to the back corner of the end zone.
Yeah, that's
ball
right.
Came out so bad it almost hit me with it.
Remember, were you there? What was it? Kevin Colbert, the Pittsburgh Steelers GM. He got down there and played catcher for a little bit and caught passes for caught pitches. Passes. Yeah, passes. Yeah. I'm in football mode. Yeah, the passes. The pitcher passes the ball to the catcher.
That's it. We're done. We gotta wrap up. We're getting off the rails. Joe, another great show. I want to invite everybody to come back. See you again next week. Monday, we're recapping the action in football, both college and pro. And then takes on Tuesday. So looking forward to that. Come back, see us again. I'm Kyle Krabs at Grinding Tape, signing off with the Joe Marino. Enjoy the weekend.